Hi, I'm Danny.
And I'm Gabby.
And this is Clashes, a podcast exploring culture shock in all its chaotic forms.
We know a good shock can shake things up.
So we blew up our lives and crash landed in Paris.
With a delusional sense of hope.
And a dangerous red habit.
I feel attacked. But culture shock isn't just about changing countries.
Almost. It's about embracing the unknown.
From navigating friendships in your 30s.
Awkward. To processing pop culture's oddest obsessions.
So buckle up and embrace the chaos.
One clash at a time.
Right. We're beginning. Right. We're here. Welcome back to episode 4, everyone.
We're back.
Have you ever seen that Jimmy Fallon? Okay, I know I'm going to... Every time I reference this, no one knows what I'm talking about, but it's an SNL skit from like 2005.
Probably not, and but it's, sure.
Go ahead. It's Jimmy Fallon and he has a radio show and okay. He just keeps going like this. And we're back! And we're back! And no. Every single time I say it, it's like he's like a local radio host. And I've probably brought this up 400 times and never once.
Like, we have no idea. What
no one has any idea. Yeah, what well, I'm talking.
I'll join them in saying I have no idea.
I'm trying to put it in show notes. I realize I've said that 40 times and I put nothing in show notes. Love. So I'm doing a great job. Okay, current events. What is new? Oscars are coming. Have you seen any of the movies?
I've seen a few, like maybe two. Anora, and I've seen.
Did you see Wicked?
No, I haven't.
You didn't see Wicked?
I'm the only person in the universe. Yeah, I know.
Oh, that's wild. I was laughing because my sister's fiance like hated it, and I asked my sister, I'm like, "What did you think?" And she's like, "I don't know. It was people singing Wicked songs. Like, you can't like hate it that much. Like, you know what you're getting into."
I'm not opposed to it, yeah. But you know, like when all of you guys went to watch it in Paris, I couldn't go, and then I just kind of like missed the mark. I just never went,
yeah.
And now I'm like, I guess I'll just wait until it's on.
No, but I feel like the best part is the big screen.
So the movies. Maybe I'll watch it at one point. I think I'm gonna watch the Bob Dylan one tomorrow.
Okay.
The Completely Unknown or whatever it's called.
I have no idea what it's called.
And I think that's it, honestly.
I got nominated. Who plays, oh my God,
the Timothy Chalamet.
No, the woman who played, oh my God, literally gonna sit here and Google it. Bob Dylan movie character. It's like the woman who pays his like love. Oh, Joan.
Joan
Baez.
Yes,
that's it.
She apparently was great.
Yeah, she got.
But also was like maybe.
She also was like totally like a very unknown person.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I'm gonna watch it. I'm not a huge Bob Dylan fan necessarily, but I'm curious.
I do like it. Happening. But did you like Anora?
I loved Anora. Yeah. It was.
I kind of like that movie changed my life. Also, do you want to know the exact version of my type? Is the Russian guy.
Are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
Which of the Russian
guys?
He
is exactly my first boyfriend is so insane.
The skinny guy?
I was obsessed with him. I love a quiet guy that you can project a personality onto. It's like my perfection. But it changed my life. I don't know. I just like really liked it. I just thought that it made me think so much about like what love is and what relationships are and what connection is and
the power of money, of being rich.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Also, yeah. What is like being born into no power versus being born into...
Also, where was that house? Was that in New York? Where in New York?
I know, presumably it was supposed to be accessible from New York. I was thinking that when I watched it. Because it's like on water.
Yeah, that's what I was like, where is this mansion? Also, at the end when... And like, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it, when she like tries to have sex or has sex with
him in the car.
Other guy. Yeah. And it's like, it's so sad, but it's like the only way she knows how to show love.
Yep.
And to me, it was
that's such a good point.
Yeah, it's kind of like, because everybody was like, why would she do that? That's so like weird, fucked up, so just let or whatever. And I'm like, no, like she truly doesn't
know. Who said
that? But, like, you know, like, I think people were like, why would she do that? Like, this guy treated her like shit, you know? Yeah. Why would she? He was nice to her. He showed her a little bit of humanity.
Yeah.
And I think in response.
That's so true. He gave her like, what do you say, crumbs.
Yeah.
Like,
he gave her the ring, which was good.
Which is nice, yeah.
God. And I think in response, she was like, the only way I know how to thank you is to have sex with you. This is how I say thank you, essentially, which is like fucked up. But that's the way like she sees like, her body
true.
And the way, you know, she shows affection. So, again, many like serious topics and things like layered onto it. But at its face, like face value is actually really hilarious and funny. Movie.
Yep.
The main guy that's like at a christening and he has to leave the christening to like help. To me, that guy was so funny.
They all seemed like everyone seemed like they weren't acting. Oh my God, so this whole podcast is gonna be on Anora.
We love Anora. Anyway. The only movie we haven't even watched. Wicked.
I loved it. Okay, we also like, I know we're recording this a week. You're not gonna hear this, you as in like the audience is not gonna hear this for a week after, but the Super Bowl is tomorrow for us.
Super Bowl is tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be in actually New York for the Super
Bowl.
Yeah.
I'll be in Paris, so I'm probably not gonna watch it because it's super late here. I think it starts at midnight here.
Does it really start at 6 p.m. That's so late.
I think so.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, I know there's a few American bars that are going to show it in Paris, mm-hmm. but I just don't really care.
Yeah, so. Guys, when we have fans, just kidding. But seriously, can we do like an American? I want to do like an American bar,
like Monday night trash football. Food party. I will say I do love chicken wings.
I want 7-layer dip.
What's
your favorite kind of chicken plus dip?
I like buffalo. Okay. Buffalo.
Do you dip it in blue cheese?
Yeah, I do.
That
to me
is one of the most insane things humans have ever invented. Yeah.
How
every time I do it, I'm like, this is so disgusting. And then it's like the most disgusting premise and somehow it works. But who thought of that?
Yeah. Who's like, yeah, no, I don't know. I love chicken wings. I love.
They do them well at the Moose.
I want to try them. Yeah. I love a chicken wing. So I do love, I participate in like wing Super culture. Bowl, Super Bowl culture. In that sense, I do love all Super Bowl foods. It's like my favorite.
Yeah.
Because it's just like junk food, but like.
Oh my god, my family back in Wisconsin makes buffalo chicken dip.
I love buffalo anything.
It's like amazing.
So yeah, so we're not gonna watch. I'm not gonna watch it. I don't know if you're gonna watch it, but I don't even know who's playing. No, actually, I think I know. It's the Eagles, right?
Go Birds or Travis. Oh my god, Taylor.
Taylor Swift is playing the Super Bowl.
Travis is definitely in.
Yeah, which is Kansas City. I do know that. And then
Chiefs, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
They're red. And then the other one, I think it's
Eagles. I saw a lot of Go Birds on social, so I'm assuming like the birds refer to an eagle.
Where are they from?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. Philadelphia. Gun to head. No idea.
Somewhere in the East Coast. Okay. I'm pretty sure it's in Pennsylvania. I just don't know what city. Philadelphia.
Where's our producer that we're supposed to be like, hey guy, can you Google?
I know I hear people be like, go Birds. So go Birds. I don't really care who wins. I don't really care about the Super Bowl. I care about the Super Bowl foods and the halftime show.
Philadelphia, by the way.
Huh?
Sorry, Philadelphia.
Yeah, I knew it was something like that. And so, anyway, I'm not watching you TBD because you're going to be flying. But I did have like a little quiz. I found some interesting fun facts about the Super Bowl.
And oh my god, the anxiety I just got when you said quiz. Sorry, but I was like, oh, you know, your teacher was like, pop quiz. I was like, oh god, my type A person.
Well, okay, there's no consequences if you get it wrong. But yeah,
other than my ego.
Okay, so how many people do you think tune in to watch the Super Bowl every year?
Woof, I'm really bad at numbers. Like, it could very well be 2 billion or like 400,000.
Somewhere in the middle.
Okay, great. 1 million.
No, that's 25 very low.
Million.
Very low.
250 million.
I will tell you, it's 100 million viewers.
100 million.
Yeah.
Wow. Picture so 100 million people in a room.
The most watched television event in the United States.
Still.
Yeah. So it's really crazy. And that's why obviously the Super Bowl ads are so expensive. How much do you think people charge for
I should
an
know
ad?
This.
Just give me a number. It's fucking crazy.
50 million.
A little less.
Okay. 20 million?
No, less.
Less than 20 million?
Yeah.
10? 15? I don't know.
7 million per ad spot.
I mean, when you think of those giant companies, I'm kind of surprised that it's not somehow more.
Yeah.
Is that crazy? Like,
well,
like
I mean,
Lay's
you're
potato chips, you know?
This crazy viewership. So I guess it's worth it at the end.
It's true.
And then in terms of how much tickets to the Super Bowl cost, true or false, have they always been expensive or were they cheap at one point?
Is this like how lobster used to be a poor man's food?
Maybe. Something like that. So, true or false, have they always been expensive?
True. No, false. They were cheap before.
You got it right.
I just had to psychologically analyze why you'd ask me the question.
So they were actually cheap. In 1967, tickets for the Super Bowl were only $12.
But like, what was that? Was that rated against inflation? Did that sound smart?
I can look it up. How much?
This is, I don't know if you follow the Instagram account, History Cool Kids. It's like one of my favorite accounts. It's
just
like,
I love that account.
Yeah. And she did this one the other day where it was like the price of groceries, but then she like rated it against
inflation. Okay. So $12 in 1967 would be about $100 today.
Okay,
so
it's
still like
cheaper, yeah.
Affordable.
Because they're probably like 500 now, right?
But how much do you think they cost now?
I don't know, 500.
On average, 5,000.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yep. In this economy.
In this econ. That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, I did pay $1,000 to see Taylor Swift. was two different concerts, but.
I mean, yeah, sure. Spend your money however you want. We're all going to die anyway. But let's move on to the halftime show. What was the most watched halftime show, you think?
The only one I know is Rihanna, so I'm not really sure.
Well, it was in 2015, like a country band or something. It was Katy Perry's.
Really?
Yeah, 121 million viewers
watched for Katy Perry.
Yeah, it was a Left Shark. Remember? It was like a moment in culture.
Oh, yeah. That was the shark. Yeah. Okay.
Also, before 1993, there weren't really like, it was mainly marching bands that would do the halftime show, but. Who was the first celebrity to headline the halftime show?
It's one celebrity versus a group.
The first famous one in
1972.
Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen.
Ella Fitzgerald.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Classy.
She was the first like major celebrity, but it didn't become an actual like huge show until 1993. Hmm. When Michael Jackson performed. And that's what kind of kicked it off to the next level. And now it's obviously become what it is. The crazy thing is they don't pay for production. Like the Super Bowl, the NFL doesn't pay for it. So the artist has to pay out of pocket.
Pay for it. So, I'm like vaguely remembering this because I watched the Jennifer Lopez documentary where she had to do it with Shakira. Really did not make me like J-Lo.
Yeah, I know.
That was a rough one. But I think she talked about that in that. And
yeah. Well, so that's Super Bowl. That's all I have for you.
Love it. Thank you for the game.
All I care about is the food and the halftime show. So
I learned a lot.
Yeah.
And my anxiety went down after I found out it wasn't like a quiz for sticks for my GPA.
It was
a very stupid quiz. Okay. So today, everyone, as you can see from the episode details, we are talking about dating. But we were talking about earlier. Yeah. Woohoo. We were talking about how every one of these themes could be like 45 episodes. So.
Oh, yeah. This is like part one.
This is just intro. I thought it would be fun to talk about the differences between dating in New York and Paris. And so you can tell everyone a little bit more. Sure. You dated in New York.
I did in New York, yeah.
But then you met your husband there.
Yes.
But he's French.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
So I don't have a lot of experience dating. If I'm being honest with you, I don't have a lot dating of experience in dating in Paris.
But you had experience dating a French man.
Well, only Paul, really.
Yeah.
Before Paul, I hadn't really dated any French guys. They weren't like my type at all. Like
so funny.
I basically had a phase where I only dated Spaniards. I don't know why. Like I was into like colonizers or something. I don't know. And
get me every time.
But I did date for a full year in New York, which was amazing. Amazing in the sense that, you know, I was single, I was heartbroken, and it was 2015. So great year for apps.
I can't believe you only dated for 1 year in New York.
Yeah.
Though. I mean, I'm assuming you put a lot of energy into that 1 year, but that's wild.
Well, I moved to New York with a boyfriend. Then we broke up and then I was single for a full year. I made it a point. I wanted to be single for a full year at least. I said 6 months, but it ended up being a year because I wanted to just, I've never really dated before because I'm from Miami and like dating isn't really a thing.
Really? I didn't know that.
I mean, I feel like it isn't. Like,
why, everyone's just in a couple?
Everyone's either in a couple or it's like a very small town. I know it's a major city, but it's very small town. So it's always like your cousin's friend, this guy you went to high school with. So it felt very like small town.
Like set up?
Yeah.
Or like you run into a guy at a party or whatever.
Yeah. And it wasn't like dating culture. Wasn't like in New York. I was like on the apps and like, okay, let's get a coffee tomorrow.
Like full-time job.
No, there was just like so it was very like dynamic. There was just like people were like closing the deal soon. They're like, we matched. We had a conversation. I like you. Let's go get a drink this Friday.
Yeah.
I went home, I remember, over Christmas break. And I was in Miami for like a month. So I'm like, let me see what dating on like Bumble or whatever is here. Dude, I was talking to three guys for like 3 weeks. And they wouldn't pull the trigger to be
really?
Like, yeah, let's go get a coffee or something. And I was like.
Oh my God. Miami was foreshadowing 2025.
Yeah. And I went on one date. And it was a guy that didn't even. He wasn't from Miami. He was like passing by. And it was like the worst day I've been. In my life.
Really?
He asked if I wanted a massage in the middle of our date. And I was like, no.
It sounds like you need a Frenchman. Sorry.
He was horrible. Anyway, in New York, at least, I felt like, obviously, I had horrible dates, great dates. But there's just, like, so much diversity. And, like, the catalog was never ending. There's just insane. Always someone.
Yeah.
You know, you never ran out of
And
people.
Someone different could be like, I want to date a dolphin trainer. I'm going to date a gymnast. I'm going to date a circus performer. It's literally. Like it could be like a literal full on. Yeah. Yeah. Cabaret.
And you can go from like, I'm going to date like a hippie from Bushwick. And then you can date like a finance bro from like Tribeca. So it's like, there really is. A
and none of them
everything.
Will ask you any questions about yourself.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, not all of them were great, but at least you were like constantly entertained. Mm-hmm. There was just like always action and things going on. I don't know, but I have a feeling Paris is not that
not fun. A lot of action, not a lot of like, it's just not as dynamic. New York was fun. I thought, I agree with you, New York was fun. My standards were so low at the time.
Well, yeah, true. I was younger and I didn't really care. Yeah,
so everything was fun because I didn't want anything either. But man, it was like access to anything. So it was crazy.
Yeah, I loved it.
Paris is much like less.
It's like a small town also.
Yeah, like a small town. Also, everyone here is in a relationship.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just a very different, like New York, everyone is single. No one wants to settle down. I mean, 35, if you're 35 and single, it's like you're
child a young bride. Chicken.
Truly, yeah. Like it's like, yeah, yeah. If you're getting together, if you're having a kid before 35 in New York, yeah. Like
what is,
you're moving home to the homestead, like full pioneer outfit. Like it's a different.
Go back to your small town.
Yeah. It's Paris has really surprised me. I feel like in terms of this culture shock podcast, dating here plus dating in my 30s, like the combination of the two at once has been like a massive shock. I think guys here, the first major thing is just like they get into relationships so quickly.
Yeah,
like right. Did Paul do that?
Like, no.
Like 1 week after you dated, was he like, no, "I'm no, in love no. with you. I deleted all the apps. Like you're
no,
the one."
No, not at all. So the weird thing about, not the weird thing, but I didn't have that experience with Paul because when me and Paul met, we were, like I said, I wasn't necessarily looking for something serious because it had been a year, but I had just gotten out of a relationship and I just really wanted to enjoy my time being single in New York. And when I met Paul, I was like, it had been a year already. So part of me was like maybe open to the possibility of something serious, but also like still having fun. Mm-hmm. And when I met him, I knew he was going to come back to France. I was like, oh, great. I don't need to think about because he's going to leave. And I think he probably thought about it in the same way. We're like, oh, I like this girl, but like I'm going to move back to France. So like, let's just have fun. So the conversation didn't happen until a while. And I was the one who brought it up because I had been before Paul, I had dated a guy for like a couple of months, like 2 or 3 months. And we were together all the time. And granted, we never spoke about like being exclusive, but since we were hanging out all the time, I just assumed.
Oh yeah. You'd assume. What a safe assumption. You'd assume.
Yeah. And to be fair, I was still on the apps, but I wasn't active anymore. Cause I literally had plans with this man like almost every day. And we were like going to brunch and like museums. So it wasn't just like booty calls.
I'm nervous for the end of the story, but I already know where it's going.
Well, one of my friends saw him on like Bumble or something. She's like, hey, isn't this the guy you're seeing? And I was like, yeah. And so I asked them, I was like, hey, are you still on the apps? Like, are you still dating? He's like, yeah. Course like, and I was like, oh, okay. And to be fair to him, like we never had said we're exclusive.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think when I started dating Paul and we started kind of hanging out,
yeah,
a
you're
lot
like not gonna
more,
make the same mistake twice.
Yeah, yeah, I just like asked them, I was like, what's going, like what's your vibe, like do you wanna...
Oh my god, imagine if all of us just did that. We would save ourselves so much hassle. Like,
yeah,
2 months in, if we're all like, what,
yeah,
is this?
To give Paul a lot of credit, he was very like, whatever you want. He was like, what do you want to do? He was just very like, YOLO, I don't care. And so that's kind of how our relationship kind of went to the next level. But
also, I wonder if like, because Paul was quite international at that point, had lived other places. Because in France, in my experience, I always like to preface that, but in my experience, everyone just tries so quickly to get into a relationship and it feels very rushed and it's very hard to trust someone who wants to date that quickly. Like, I'll never forget, I went on this one date here, like right when I moved here, and he sat across from me at the table and he like took my hand and he started like caressing my hand at the table. Okay, this is for anyone who's dated in New York, like the level of emotional repression is unreal. So it's like, imagine dating a guy, like I would have situationships that I would sleep with for 2 years
and, like,
and we would never express a feeling or emotion. This guy sitting across from me at the table stroking my hand. I was, first of all, so grossed out.
Look at you straight.
Oh, horrific. It just like made me want to throw up, which is obviously like partially my problem, partially the problem of the guy. But I think everyone will be happy to know I've been in therapy for several years now.
Well, I mean, that would also.
It creeped me out. And he was like basically assuming that we were dating in that moment after one date. I was like, okay, I'll come over once a week. Like, we'll watch. Like, he like had this whole plan for us. I mean, of course, I'm like an idiot and I like. Sure, I ghosted him and never texted back. But ever since that moment, I realized how quickly it went. And then my first boyfriend here, like the first time we slept together, he was like, okay, I deleted all the apps. Oh, okay. Like, I'm just dating you. And
that's,
I'm like,
nice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's nice in the sense, but it's nice, but it's like feels so quick.
Yeah.
And
yeah, yeah.
I find that hard to trust.
I think it's because like New York is so, like you said, so different. It's like the complete opposite where it's like
complete
you could be like quote unquote dating someone for 4 months and like hanging out every single day and they can still turn around and be like, by the way, I'm still having sex with other people. And you're like, what?
I always talk about the woe. everyone who's friends with me will know this, but I was called the whoa, whoa, whoa conversation. So it's like the second you say to a guy in New York, you're like, hey, like literally this is what it will be like. You'll say to the guy, hey, are we still hanging out this Friday? And they'll be like, whoa, 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 whoa.
I wasn't looking
for anything serious. You're like, so you can't even make a date. Like, yeah.
I think that's like the good and the bad part about New York. It's like there's so many options that no one can commit to anyone.
Like in New York, it's so normal to be single. And I've been trying in this stage of my life to pay a lot of attention to what I want versus what I'm feeling social pressure to feel. And in New York, I never felt pressure to be in a relationship ever. Like ever. And here, and like granted, I was in New York 24 to 30. So like younger years, it's nice that Frenchmen can be explicit about how they're feeling and open and willing. Granted, I find it hard to not see that as love bombing and to not see their definition of love as just like initial infatuation and attraction. I don't believe love happens after for most people after two dates.
Right.
So everyone here just feels like a lot very early, you know.
What I've heard from a lot of my friends here, and like you included, is like when you have somewhat of a connection with someone here, they like love bomb you and they're like, I want to hang out with you all the time. And then all of a sudden they ghost you. So it goes from like 0 to 100. And then they're like, by the way, I don't even know who you are.
Yeah, that's true. So, or they cheat on you, which is brings us to our next topic. Yeah. I do think I hear about that a lot where it's like, I always love the meme where it's like, how dare I believe that the guy who told me he liked me actually liked me. And I like think about that all the time because that sums up every relationship I've ever been in. Like a guy obsessed with me and then all of a sudden one day they're like, yeah, I don't know, I'm over it.
Interesting.
And I'm curious what you think. Like, do you think French men cheat more? I will say that is probably like the number two question I've gotten asked since I moved here.
I don't know if they cheat more. I do think it's more quote unquote accepted here in some ways. Mm-hmm. Like I think it's more normal. Like you hear, because again, couples here, people stay here together for years. Like people start dating in like college and then date for like 10, 15 years and they don't necessarily get married. They just stay together. So I know a lot of French people or couples that are in those kind of relationships. Like they've been together forever, but one or both of them have cheated. But then they like forgive each other and they get back together. So I do think it's more of a thing here that you cheat and stay with the person. Whereas, and again, I do think Americans cheat, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think in the US, or at least in my experience, my American friends, when there's cheating involved, like they normally break up. They don't stay together.
It must be a difference in, I think I always think about there's probably like two aspects to it. Like the first is, if they're going to be so obsessed with following their own feelings, like so much like, oh, I love you and you're so beautiful. Like when they first meet you, it's much more likely that they would justify that as being justification for cheating. I also think that like they just feel very moved by sex. Like I think that they have this like a lot of times they're just like, well, I don't know, I was drawn to her. And you're like, okay, I don't care. And they're like, but I was drawn to her.
I think when you start dating someone and you're super, super young and you don't leave your town or find any like adventures or excitement in any other way that is outside of the couple, your life can feel very boring and stale. And that's when I think one or the other decides to cheat, to find that excitement that cheating or like having an affair could bring. So I think it comes from being bored, honestly, in their current
situation. But also, do you agree, disagree with the fact that I think there's also an element of like, they won't be single. They refuse to be single. And they also don't like gaps of singledom between relationships. So every relationship overlaps. This is like, I have had this proven to me dozens and dozens of times. And this is not just men's fault. This is women's fault too. Like fault, whatever. It's just culture. But they don't. In the US, I feel like we have this belief that like, you need to be single. Like you said, I'm going to be single for a year. I'm going to be single for a bit. And I think here they're oftentimes not willing to do that. And they very naturally have every relationship overlap between them. And then to me, that's like more naturally going to lead. Like if you cannot be single in between, it's going to lead to every relationship ending in cheating with the next person you date.
Yeah. And I think it kind of goes back, or we haven't touched on this yet, but I don't think French people date.
I don't, they don't have a word for it. Did you know that?
But that's what I'm saying. They don't have a word for dating. I don't think it's like, I think like you said, I went on a date. I like this guy. We're together. There's not like, I'm on Bumble just trying to see what's out there. And I think that's very, I don't necessarily think that's very American, but that's very New York. Like, New York, you're single. Oh my God. Best time of your life. A date every Friday if you want. I think Paris.
Oh, day every Friday? I used to double book.
Oh, same.
Multiple nights of my week.
I was
week.
Like, I'm broke. Let me see how many free meals I can get.
I always think of like these like random, like, do you ever have like a, walking down the street, like a flashback?
Of like a I was, person you dated. You're oh, like, what the fuck?
God, oh, God. Oh, yeah. Like, how did I like?
Yeah. Oh, I did go on a date with a guy that talked to me about Bitcoin in 2015. And maybe I should have dated
oh,
this man.
Oh, yeah.
And he was. Been. In his
could
defense,
have the modern
very
Elon.
Hot, but really? A potato head. Like, nothing interesting to say. Like, if you're going to talk
I've
about
never heard that phrase, a potato head.
I don't know. It's like nothing in there. He was just
a plastic
very
toy.
Hot.
With just, removable lips.
I will say, he was very hot. Nothing interesting about this man. But he gave me my mojo back because he's the first guy that, after we went on a date, we walked together in the East Village. And then we were supposed to, like, part ways because I was going to Nolita. He was going, I don't know where he lived. And he just gave me a kiss like spontaneously in the middle of the street in New York and
twirled
like,
you in.
Yeah, it was like very like movie rom-com situation and I was like okay,
still got it baby,
still got it baby. And then I never heard of him.
Never heard of him again.
Never again.
I love those TikToks of like the guy in New York. One day before he goes to you, and it's like, babe, we'd like, have the most
yeah,
beautiful children.
Those.
Like, babe, you want to meet my parents? I mean, as someone who got broken up with just like that recently, it resonates strongly. But the other two things I found most shocking are, I think I've told you this before, but like I was told, well, one, that I'm too smiley, but I get told that by everyone, but I definitely feel on dates. And I've noticed that with friends, like friends who are really cheery and smiley. Like I've heard French women are really mean and men are here are really used to it. So I've sort of let that give me permission to be a bitch. And the second one is I got told this twice on dates here that I asked, like they didn't say too many at first, but they would be like, you asked so many questions.
Oh, really?
And in the US, I'll never forget this moment. I went on this date with this guy. I had the night double booked. I went all the way to the Upper East Side to see him. I remember he was like a public defender or something. Some guy that you would think would maybe, I don't know, not
be
like
nice.
Finance guy. You'd think that, be curious, be decent. He bought me three drinks. I, of course, accepted all of them.
Of course.
I walked in and the first thing he said, literally, I don't remember why. I work in PR, right? The first thing he said is all publicists are stupid.
Oh.
But he didn't know I worked in PR. Oh. And it came out like in the first line. He was like, yeah, I just got back from this thing. You know, like, God, all publicists are stupid. You know how it is. And I was waiting.
Oh, no.
The entire date. I was like, oh, I can't wait till he asks me what I do. Yeah. Guess what?
He never asked.
Not once.
Of course. I mean, I'm telling you, I was subjected to Bitcoin talk for 30 minutes. And the only reason I was like, sure, is because I'm like, he's kind of hot.
Yeah, it's true. If they're good to look at. So otherwise, I just get like wasted. But
yeah.
Fun times.
Wait, I have a question about dating here. Who pays for the first date here?
Oh,
normally?
Good question. Not the man.
Oh, really?
Everyone splits
it like
here.
Split?
They split it here. If it's like 50, one time 50? I wanted a date and it was like $12 and he has to split it at the end.
I'm always curious about that because when I dated the Spaniard guy, he paid for the first few things. And then I think he made a comment about like, I think it should be 50-50.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, ooh.
The one who was dating other people?
Yeah.
Yeah. He needed to save his money for the other girls.
And then, but I don't know. I was kind of surprised. And then I think Paul paid for the first couple of things.
Can I tell you something stupid about my personality in New
sure,
York? I got in New York. I was working three jobs. Never been more broke in my life.
Of course.
And yet was obsessed with paying for dates.
You were paying for dates?
I loved doing it. For me, it was such a power move to be like, don't worry, I got this. I love to see their like face get emasculated. This is obviously probably my kink or something. I love to watch it. And I would truly, I'd like go on the date. I'd be like, don't worry, I got it. Pay, get an overdraft alert on
no,
my phone.
Not the overdraft.
My fucking Chase account, the overdraft alert. But it was just, I loved doing it. And so I did that for a ton.
In control.
Yeah, it's exactly it. I want to be in control. I want to make men feel a little bit small or small.
I do feel like in New York, men normally pay.
I do think they pay more. Because they were definitely like not comfortable with the fact that I was paying.
Yeah. In Miami, the guy, he was such a douche. The guy I went out with, we went to this like wine bar where you buy your bottle of wine or whatever. And then there's basically like a backyard and you sit there have a drink or whatever. And so we're in line to buy the wine. He looks at me, he's like, you okay if we go Dutch? And then I go, sure. Like, what am I going to be? He's like, you know, feminism and all that. And I go, okay.
Sir, I think you need to.
Okay, to be honest.
I love how vividly you remember that.
That was honestly, I think, one of the worst dates of my life. And what I will say about this, I'm not necessarily against paying for stuff.
Oh, I could talk about this forever. Yeah.
But I just think it sets a weird tone for the date already. When you turn to someone and you say, you cool if we go Dutch?
Yeah. Feminism, well, it's not given power. Feminism and all that.
Or if you really...
I would have loved to ask him to interrogate like three other tenets of feminism in that moment.
And so I think there's a way to do it. Like, I think if we would have been like, hey, I got this one. Do you mind getting the next one?
I think,
one
you know, the dream, but... what works really well on a first date is when you bar hop.
Oh,
I
true.
Like that. It's like you bar hop and you're like, don't worry, I got this one. And then it's like the next person's like, I got this one. That feels good.
I do think if you're going to go have drinks and you have a good thing going, I don't think there's anything wrong with the woman being like, I got the next round. I don't think that it means that. That doesn't mean the guy's not gonna like you, or, you know, I think it's fine in splitting the
cost. Do people think that people won't like you?
No, I'm speaking for Latinas, and like a lot of Latinas probably feel differently, but in general, I think they expect to be taken care of, meaning like they expect the man to pay for everything.
Mm.
And when they don't, or if they don't, it's like, what's wrong with you? Especially like in Latin America, maybe not so much in the US, but in Latin America, because I remember my friend, he lives in Mexico and he was single, he was dating, and I was like, how's the dating life in Mexico? Because he's like a very good looking guy. And so I was like, oh my God, you're probably killing it in Mexico. I don't know. I'm just assuming because you're like this like very like hot guy. And he's like, it's great, but honestly, it's so tiring because they even ask him to pay for an Uber. So for them to get to the date, he has to call them an Uber.
Should I move to Mexico?
So I do think, I mean, there's two extremes. I think going 50-50 is fine. It's the way you kind of talk about it and the way you propose it to the person.
Yeah, it's the tone and the vibes and like, and having respect, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I guess you haven't had French dating culture, but I do feel like the dream would be a really cool mix of both. Like, I think ultimately in the end, it would be so nice to have the expression of emotion that French people have, or they like the admit
the
like,
intimacy. Or
yeah.
Whatever.
Like admitting they like someone. I feel like in New York, I just went in these circles of no one wanted to admit anything.
Yeah.
For the sake of power or whatever. But then I would love like a little more of the fun of dating, like getting to try
casual
new people,
dating.
The casual dating of New York. It would be so fun to have both. But of course, they're all or nothing. So if anyone exists and lives in a country where there's both, I'm holding out on like Scandinavia.
Oh,
I'm,
my God.
Is
well,
it bad
no,
there?
I heard they're very cold.
Shit.
I heard they're very shy. And
I'm
like,
whittling
reserved.
Down my country options. I've now dated Australian, British,
well,
French, Italian.
I did a road trip in Scandinavia. So I've been to Norway, Sweden, and Denmark. I will say the hottest people, conventionally hot.
Oh, and I like blonde guys.
The hottest people I've seen in my entire life live in Oslo. Every single person looks like a supermodel.
Really?
And everyone is just like hot and fit and tall.
Ugh.
And they're like, they don't know that they're hot, which is crazy because you're like,
that's
have
wild.
You seen yourself?
Yeah.
I think everyone is somehow rich also. There's a lot of money.
I do think you need money to live there. So that's part of it.
Yeah,
okay,
like
well,
really
I'll see expensive. You guys in Oslo. See you in the next pod from Oslo. Okay, time for our next segment. How do you not know this?
Huh? Woohoo. And this is our segment where we talk about something that's happening in culture that the other person doesn't know about. So we're going to educate or shame them.
Amen.
So Gabby, what do you have for me today?
Okay. Mine is going to sound so smart. I'm just kidding.
Oh God. Is it another study?
Another research. It's another master's thesis.
What is it?
So that podcast that we did about friendship, I kept citing this one article and it's called The Antisocial Century.
Okay.
And I got the name wrong because I thought it was this woman named Laura.
Okay.
But it's not. It's this guy named Derek Thompson.
Okay. Spreading misinformation. Love.
It's doing way too much information up front. But I am obsessed with him and only very recently. And it's so funny because I posted a couple of things about him and I got a lot of DMs where they're like, oh, I can't believe you're just discovering him. Like, I've been a fan of his for so long.
Who is this diva?
He's like, well, as I'm looking at his photo, it looks like he's 13 years old. So,
oh, really?
Jealous of his intellects. But I think he's just a really interesting modern journalist that identifies these like cultural woes and articulates them so well. He's a columnist for The Atlantic.
Okay.
And he did this whole one that we talked about a lot on the friendship episode, but about, it's called The Antisocial Century. And it's
Got
just
it.
About how we're becoming increasingly antisocial. But he's very curious. He asks a lot of questions.
Okay.
He's not, I mean, I compare him. He just wrote a book with Ezra Klein, the New York Times guy.
Cool.
And Ezra, to me, is a lot more performatively confident and like a little bit, I don't know. I find him to be a little more, not
on
aggressive.
For the cameras.
Yeah, for the cameras, and also just, I don't know, his tone is like off for me. But Derek, just so curious and interested. And I think he's very nuanced. It's very not black and white the way he describes topics.
Is he the one who wrote the piece on Americans Need to Party More or something like that?
No, I just looked that up the other day. That was a woman who wrote that, I think. Okay. That was also The Atlantic, I think.
Yeah, I think so. That's why I was asking. Yeah.
I have hit this microphone with my mouth like 15 times. I don't know what is happening to me. I'm like clearly starved for affection. So anyway, he also wrote this other one called Is Moderate Drinking Okay? And he talks about what I'm fascinated by.
Which is
a topic of like everyone obsessed with not drinking. Sorry, I know you're not drinking. Yeah. But like I have a lot of thoughts around how that leads to...
Not being fun.
Well, because I think people oftentimes associate alcohol with like, okay, I'm going to open up tonight. I'm going to be vulnerable. Uh-huh. And obviously, like, as anyone who knows me knows that like I'll talk about like anal vibrators in 3 seconds of meeting me. So like you don't need, I don't need alcohol. But I love when I show up and I can tell the person's ready to participate. Right. So you don't need alcohol
it
for it.
It sets a vibe for
it
sure.
It does set a vibe. So, but he kind of talks about that a little bit. And I just, he has such interesting articles, and he has a podcast called Plain English that I'm obsessed with too.
Oh, I'll listen to that.
Listen, tell me what you think.
So what does he say about drinking?
He just talks about, he basically talks about all the health risks. Obviously, it's everything kind of cancels itself out. He basically, literally in the article, calculates how much time you lose from your life with every drink, but then you gain it back with every bit of alcohol. I can find it for you.
No, I'm just curious.
It's kind of shocking. It is like 5 minutes off your life for every drink you have.
Are you serious?
But then you get 5 minutes back for every alcohol. And he's like, I kind of love the balance of that. Like it just articulates how humans need to be balanced.
Hi, this is Gabby coming to you from the future. I realized I meant to say you get 5 minutes back for every time you exercise, not like alcohol. Okay. Bye. Back to the pod.
And then he ends the article with this comment about, you know, if you're going to, like we're so struggling to have connection with people. We're isolating ourselves. We're all sitting in alone. Yeah. So if your drink is your way of socializing, because I think people are really starting to understand that social fitness is going to be just as important as nutritional fitness,
right?
In terms of overall health, he means like if you're not drinking is going to mean you self isolate. It might be better for you to have a drink and go out in person and socialize. And so he said like just as everything, we have to approach it with nuance and moderation. And I just like that. I think it's very anti-zeitgeist in terms of having a thoughtful, not black and white take, you know?
Well, have you seen that? There's a sommelier who posted on TikTok. I think it was maybe a year old. She asked, why are people not drinking anymore?
Hmm.
And the responses were actually fascinating.
What were they? I've never seen that.
The majority was, I think it was more Gen Z than millennial, but maybe some millennials in there. And the majority of people were saying like, I'm too broke.
Hmm.
Or I'm like in so many meds because of my anxiety or depression that it just doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's mainly like health and cost, the two main ones.
That's so interesting. So in terms of like med complications.
And I think a lot of people, especially this new like sober movement of people that are like not drinking, is linked to health mainly. To be people for me,
yeah,
personally, I just feel like absolute garbage when I drink. Oh, so no. It's more like...
The thing is, same. Like, yeah. I'm hungover right now and I'm not thriving.
Yeah.
It's just... I mean, I could talk... This could be a whole episode on its own. But I think everyone is different and their relationship to alcohol is different.
For sure.
And I think that if all my friends were as vulnerable and open as I am when off the bat... Sober. Not even my friends. Like, even just like acquaintances, I probably wouldn't need alcohol. But because they're not... I think I just can't have rewarding conversations with people who are closed off.
Yeah.
And I like that people opt in with alcohol to share, even if it's not the actual inebriation and it's just the symbol of drink on the table means we open up. That is more rewarding. Otherwise, I don't want to show... If we're going to talk about like dumb surface level shit, I almost don't want to show up anymore.
I do think drinking is a social activity. So obviously when you're drinking, you're going to have like... It's going to be in a social setting and you're going to be like interacting with people. So it does bring that positive side to it. But I do think, I don't know, I don't think you necessarily need to be drunk or be drinking to have fun or to have certain connections. But I do think it sets a vibe of people like being willing to do certain things or staying out later, whatever.
So anyway, Derek talks about this. I just like that he blends science, he blends psychological research, and then he blends a nuanced take. So check it out. What about you? What are you shaming me for not knowing today?
Well, not necessarily. I don't know that much about it, but I've done a little research. But have you heard of the movie Emilia Perez?
Okay. I like keep seeing this, but I have no idea what's going on.
Okay, so you don't know the latest.
No, drama I know vaguely the movie.
Carla Sofía Gascón.
No, she tweeted or something, right?
Yeah,
yeah. That's all so I
basically
know.
Basically, this movie, I haven't watched it, like, to be fully honest.
Like, every time
everyone.
We bring something up, we're like, and this is what I'm obsessed with. I have not seen it. I haven't
thing.
Watched it.
I don't
it.
Know anything about it. But no, so I haven't watched it for a couple of reasons. The main one is, so it's a movie about, it tells the story of like a Mexican cartel dealer transition into a woman. And it doesn't have, it's gotten a lot of backlash because of the way it portrays Mexican culture, but also the transgender community. And the reason, honestly, I haven't watched it is mainly because it was directed by a French man. And I just don't need a French dude telling me about Mexican culture.
Aren't, like, none of the actors actually Mexican either?
I don't think so, no. So Carla is Spanish. She did live in Mexico for many years, but she's Spanish. I mean, Selena Gomez, I guess, is the only sort of Mexican.
I don't know.
Zoe Saldana is Dominican, so mm-hmm. yeah. And I think, what's this Venezuelan actor's in it? Edgar Ramirez, who's Venezuelan. So I don't think there's actually any Mexican leads in the story. But I just, and like, no shade to French people, but I don't think you're going to be able to tell an authentic story about Mexican culture if you're French.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I have yeah. no interest in seeing it. Like, no, I want to see a Mexican sense. Director, yeah. or at the very least, a Latin director.
Mm-hmm.
So just in that sense, I was like, I'm not really sold. Then someone told me it was a musical and I was like, what the fuck?
I feel like the way they are Trojan horsing in musicals. And by the way, I, unlike most people, am a musical person, but I don't need it Trojan horsed in.
Well, that's the thing. I want to know what I'm yeah. getting myself into. And apparently there's like a whole musical piece on talking about like a vagina. So I'm like, I don't.
I mean, it does sound up my alley. I'm not yeah. going to lie.
So yeah, I'm like, what is this movie? So I haven't watched it. Just I've only heard honestly negative things
Same.
From people yeah. that I actually trust in terms of like people who do cultural reviews and movie reviews, and they've only said like it's a fucking joke, basically.
So weird because it has so much awards buzz. No,
I do think it's like quirky enough where like some people can see like, oh my god, this is so artsy and like out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like either you see it like that, like it's so crazy, like, oh my god, they're singing about vaginas, like how crazy this cartel, like Mexican cartel leader is transitioning to be a woman, how crazy, we've never seen that before. So I think a lot of people see it in that sense, like visionary, and then a lot of people are like, what the fuck is this? So I think that's where you kind of get both sides of the thing. So I personally have no interest in watching. Maybe I'll watch it. I think I need to watch it with friends. I don't think I can actually sit there by myself and watch it.
Yeah.
We can do a viewing party and we can be like, what is happening? But the whole thing about it now, so it's been nominated for like, I think, 13 Oscars.
God,
so
that's insane. So that's insane.
Yeah. But the whole thing right now, the controversy is around the lead, Carla Sofía Gascón, who, let's just say, some very interesting tweets resurfaced.
What?
And they're bad. Like, you know, sometimes when these celebrities have like old tweets resurface and, you know, they're problematic, but you're like, well, they're 15.
Isn't that wild? Do you think you ever tweeted something problematic?
Yeah.
You do?
I mean, nothing like this. Nothing like this. But I'm sure I tweeted something. When I was like 18, I probably tweeted something stupid, like the lyrics of a song that I should.
Look in the show notes. Just kidding.
I mean, I don't know. When I
oh,
say
lyrics, yeah.
Yeah, like lyrics yeah. or something like that. But nothing. Maybe I said the R word. Like,
oh, this is the okay.
R word, you know,
yeah.
like that kind of
but
stuff.
But would anyone really get. Well,
no,
okay,
but
anyway.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in
usually
past,
it can be
in the
like
past,
they were
like
12.
Celebrities that have like yeah. new tweets resurfaced. And you're like, yeah, well, they were 17.
Right,
they probably
yeah.
didn't even know what was going on.
Oh, no. Wait, what did she do, though?
I mean, her tweets are really bad. They're like just. Honestly racist and so offensive and problematic, and the thing is, like, one of them was from 2021, so it's not
oh,
like she was like a
recent.
Young girl that didn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
This was like 4 years ago, and so essentially these tweets resurface. I'll read you some of them because they're fucking wild.
You know, we have to mark this podcast as explicit.
and so the crazy thing is, obviously now she's like, well, I guess I'm sorry. But like the way she said, I'm sorry, I'll read it to you, is very like, stop attacking me. And I'm like, girly, like, mm. I get it. It's probably horrible to be attacked by all these people, but it's kind of your fault.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think she's really taking accountability for what she said. And like I said, I'm going to read you some. What she said was awful and crazy and racist. And I think if I were her or if I was in her team, I'd be like, you got to say I'm sorry and mean it. Try to at least pretend like you mean it, because she's a little defensive now. She's like, I'm deactivating my account. I can't take the hate. And I'm like, okay, that you kind of asked for, hate came from inside the house.
Yeah. Like,
so that's the only, like, the thing that, yeah, I'm like annoyed about. Well, I mean, obviously, and what she tweeted is fucking awful, but it's like, you got to take accountability. You fucked up royally, and now you have to like take a step back and be like, I am so sorry.
I'm surprised, yeah, with all the PR team she probably has surrounding her, that they haven't helped her with the apologies. But
yeah, it's really wild. So hold on, I'm trying to find some of these. In November of 2020, so again, not that long ago, she tweeted, Islam is becoming a hotbed for infection for humanity that urgently needs to be cured.
Wow, okay.
And then this one was from, she actually was tweeting about the Oscars in 2021. And she tweeted, more and more, the hashtag Oscars are looking like a ceremony for independent and protest films. I didn't know if I was watching an Afro-Korean festival, a Black Lives Matter demonstration. Apart from that, an ugly, ugly gala.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That one's just like petty and like not like...
an Afro-Korean festival.
Yeah.
So the crazy thing is like this one was from 2021. So yeah, quite recent.
Yeah, they're all pretty. Yeah.
And so apparently a lot of people have distanced themselves from her. Including...
I saw she's not going to be part of the...
I don't know if she's going to go to the Oscars. I mean, she is nominated. I don't know if she's going to go to the Oscars or not. She's actually, I think, the first openly transgender woman to be nominated to the Oscars.
See, it's so unfortunate. It's like marred in all of this. Exactly. It's such a positive thing overall.
I know, for example, the director has already stepped or distanced himself and said, like, that was crazy. I don't condone this. Like, that was horrible.
Are they not, like, doing background checks before they hire people for this?
I don't... This is, like, PR 101.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's, like, so shocking to me. Your entire history from the internet. Well... Yeah. Also, don't be a horrible person. But if you are a horrible person, at the very least, hire someone.
You also
to
think that they would have someone like when you hire for like a major role in a film that you're going to try to have be an Oscar contender. They
the only
double
thing
check
I can think
actor.
Of, she actually doesn't think that's this is bad.
Yeah,
you know
it's
what
like
I mean?
J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, exactly. Vibes. She's yeah. probably like, I'm right. What are you talking yeah. about? So that's the only thing I can think of. But
well, that's probably why she's not following whatever PR. Like, they definitely gave her better apology advice than she followed.
Well, and so the thing that she tweeted, so she tweeted like, I want to acknowledge, like whatever. She kind of tweeted like an I'm sorry thing, but it was very like not really authentic. And then I guess people were like, no, it's still not fine. Then she tweeted something being like, I'm sorry, but I can no longer take, I can no longer allow this campaign of hate and misinformation to affect me and my family. And so she deactivated her X account, her Twitter account.
Wow, this is wild. Yeah. So I wonder, what do you think will happen in terms of like, do you think, and they can't pull a nomination, can they? Or, they could, I'm sure.
No, well, actually I have
Did
no
they
idea.
Do that for Will Smith? They like pulled his...
No.
They pulled something when he punched the
Didn't
guy.
Did he slap someone at yeah. the Oscar so?
Yeah, but I thought they took his, I think they rescinded award. His award.
No, so I think what they're probably going to do is like, I'm assuming she's not going
to
win.
Just not give it to her. Yeah.
I don't even think she was going to win to begin with, to be honest with you. That's what I want to share with you.
Okay, well, I'll dig into it
Oscars
a little bit.
And Emilia Perez. So.
I'm curious. I need some drama behind my Oscars. Let's see what happens. It'll make me like it more. Yeah. All right. It's time for, lost that accent really quickly, our next segment.
Snack and spiral, spiral and snack.
Okay, so we're going to do Snack and Spiral. I'm going to talk about a snack I love.
I
right
want to
now.
Know. What is it? I'm so curious as it sits in front of me and I eye it and want to take it. Another bite of it.
So one of my favorite coffee shops in my neighborhood, surprise, surprise, everything is within like a 5-minute walk. It's called Roni Bakery, but it's really...
Do you like it because it sounds like Real Housewives of New York?
No, it actually used to be called Norma. And they like changed name maybe 2 months ago because of trademark issues and like that. I like it. The coffee's really good. They have really good pastries. They have kind of traditional pastries, but also like very different ones. Like they have a kimchi croissant that I want to try.
What?
Yeah.
Why did we get that today?
Yeah.
Too?
Well, because I wanted you to try this specific
Sweet
one.
And safe.
They also have like a tiramisu Danish. So like it's kind of oh traditional God. Stuff with like a twist kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The coffee's really good. And they have, in my opinion, the best pain au chocolat in Paris. Mm. And pain au chocolat is like very traditional. Obviously, you can find it in any boulangerie here. And this one is not your traditional type. I mean, it's traditional in the sense that it's like a croissant with mm-hmm, chocolate mm-hmm. inside. But it's also praliné, which I don't really know how to explain that. But it's basically like caramelly and nutty. I don't know. It's so good.
I can attest. Danny gave me a bite and it's even better than I thought it was going to be.
It's
texturally
so, yes,
too. Like yes. It's texturally and
flavorful. It's like crunchy on the outside and like soft. And yes. it actually has a lot of chocolate.
Yes.
Because the thing here is like depending on where you go, if you go to a traditional boulangerie, they'll have like a little stick of
yeah,
chocolate inside. And
yeah.
it's like you, it's not enough in my opinion. This one has like really like the ratio of chocolate to bread to chocolate is perfect.
Yeah.
The outside is like crunchy and the crust is like, I don't know, like almost like salty. I don't know. With the butter.
Oh, you're right.
Flavor.
There might be a little bit because like the salt. Yeah.
Yeah. That the might praline. Be part of it. I need to like Google what praline means, but it's basically like some nuts and like caramel, I think.
I'm going to nod along because I actually don't know the answer. I thought pralines was something nuts and caramel, but I'm probably fully wrong.
So the thing in when I went to Belgium, praline is chocolate, like a chocolate.
It's really?
Just, yeah.
So am I totally
like,
wrong?
Well, I think it depends where you are. So praline in France is, it's made, it's like a confection made from roasted hazelnuts or almonds.
Ah, we were right on the nut front.
Yeah. So
should we call the
like
podcast
sugar
the nut
syrup.
Front? Do you think we should rename the podcast? Praline. The nut front? No.
The nut front. but yeah, so it's so, so good because it has those like hazelnut, like...
Mm-hmm.
Like the crunchiness and the saltiness of the hazelnut with the chocolate, which famously goes well. Thank you, Nutella. So yeah, go check it out if you're ever in the
area. So good. And what are you going to whine about today?
I'm going to whine. It's not necessarily a spiral.
Sorry, whine. Whinge. Do you know how that's Australian and British people say it?
What?
Have a good whinge.
What is that,
whine? They say whinge instead of whine. Isn't that crazy?
I want to whinge.
Best thing I got out of dating an Australian guy was learning that.
But I'm going to whinge about. It's not really a... I'm not going to spiral, but I'm going to talk about something that I used to spiral about that I now understand.
Okay.
And it's muting people on Instagram.
Yeah.
So I used to be I'm not going to say I was against it, but I always felt like it was an aggression towards you. Like when someone muted you, you were like, what the hell?
Yes.
Those are fighting words. Now, as an adult, I'm like, this is great. I love you as a friend, but I don't necessarily need to see every single thing you're posting on, especially my friends that post every single thing about their lives.
Yeah, like me.
I actually haven't muted you. I find you still entertaining.
But it's true. We've talked about this a lot, but like I keep comparing it to blocking an ex, even if your ex didn't do anything wrong. And even if your ex was like a fine person.
Yeah.
It's just like sometimes you have to clear
your head.
You don't
want to see this person.
Of a person. Yeah. Danny, you know I've done it because if people hang out without me all the time, I'm kind of like, I don't want to feel like I'm in middle school being like, why is everyone hanging out without me?
Why didn't you invite me?
So I'm just going to mute everyone and then I don't see it. And then I'm not mad at my friends. I'm excited to see them.
Yeah.
I'm happy when they invite me. Yeah. I'm not sad when they don't. And it doesn't like make me resent people that I care about. And I just... feel healthier.
Yeah, I think a lot of people take it personally because they're like, why are you...
I get why I take it personally. Yeah. I get why people take it personally. Because I'd probably take it personally.
That I'm on the other side of it, I'm like, this is actually great because I'm controlling what I see on social. Mm-hmm. And maybe I just want to see strangers. And maybe I just want to see random like puppy videos. I don't want to see like your get ready with me. Like, for example, right now, because I recently left my corporate job, I get triggered by corporate
get ready with me to go to... Huh? Work like
well, people are like, I love my job, broke another record. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'm sorry, like, but like, amazing, like, go get him, girl. But I'm like, I actually hate you, so I'm gonna hate you. And like,
this is me like hanging out with couples right now. I'm like, I'm so happy for you. I love your love. Also, I'm gonna peace.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not a you problem. It's a me problem. Yes. But I also like, why would I still like you as a person?
Re-trigger.
I want the best. For you, but I don't need to see how.
But that's what I think. It's like in a weird form. It's kind of a form of like affection or love. Yeah. Like I always think of this in terms of also like confronting your friends, which I'm trying to get better at.
Yeah.
But it's like if a friend does something that's really hurtful, you can either do one of two things. You can lie to their face, or you can confront it and discuss it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and so I always think that like the pulling away in the line, like you're not indulging in the friendship.
Yeah.
You're not like helping the friendship grow. But if you confront it. It's like, I think you're contributing to the friendship. You're respecting them. So it's kind of the same way. It's like, if you mute someone, you're basically kind of like, hey, I still want to be your friend. Especially someone you see often.
You're just really curating the kind of content you want to see. And I think everything is so on fire right now.
I know.
That the least you could control is like your friend group or like your online friend group. Mm-hmm, because some of these people you might not even know in person. So if you only want to see people who are posting puppy videos or silly things or outfit pictures, then you have a right to
also,
curate that.
You get to do, you also are a human with free will. You get to do whatever the fuck you want.
But literally, but like I think again, and I feel like I say this every week, social media has warped our idea of like what friends or like friendship is or friendship means. And there's all these different codes and all these different things that rules you have to follow. And so I think muting is healthy, and it's actually healthy for a friendship. And if your friend mutes you, that's fine.
If you want to ask about it and talk about it, just be like, is there a reason? I don't think it's like a problem to discuss.
Yeah. I think if you're friends in real life, that's what matters.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, but I always agree because I do it. But that's so interesting. Yeah, I wonder if we'll see more and more people do that as like Instagram becomes that a true burning hellscape.
Yeah.
Like if more people are like, you know what? It doesn't even matter anymore though because your whole feed is filled with like trash anyway.
Of course.
You don't, yeah. But anyway, I do think it's super interesting.
Yeah, so that's my spiral. I'm pro-muting now.
Pro-mute. I love what you said, in a place of muting.
It sounds like a
memoir title. I'm in a place of muting.
So if you've been muted, it's actually an honor. It's not a bitch.
Danny doesn't want to hate you in person.
That means your life is so together, you're triggering.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, it is. I mean, for the, unless you're like just really annoying. Those are the two reasons. Like, I just don't want to.
Now I know why you haven't muted me.
Either like I find you entertaining or your content is stupid enough.
I'm dying.
But I'm like, this is good.
Okay. My snack is really random today. I also don't have it with me, but I had it this morning. Okay. And that's why I thought of it. I don't know if you guys know what sarrasin, but it's basically buckwheat.
Buckwheat, yeah.
And here they use it in a bunch of different stuff. And they have sarrasin chips from the store.
Ooh.
They also have, there's a place in my neighborhood that has a sarrasin baguette.
Oh,
it's amazing. Like a tradition, really, but it's sarrasin.
I've had the crepes, but I've never had them in baguette.
Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of, you're right. Crepes is another big one. It's kind of like such, actually, I've had sarrasin ice cream. Isn't that crazy?
It's like from the north, no?
Is it?
I think so.
Should have looked this up before.
Wherever crepes are from.
I don't remember.
Brittany?
Breton.
I'm like, Brittany?
It's just like, yeah, buckwheat. So it's grainy. It's good. I like it. Like, I think.
I've never had the chips.
Okay, so I really like the chips.
What are you, just they're like really by salty? Themselves, or do you need like a dip?
I eat them by themselves, but you could do a dip.
Okay. They're just
very
salty. You
know me, I'm never going to stop a girl from a dip.
What kind of dip? What do you pair it with?
What do you pair it
with?
What
kind of wine?
I don't know. I'm such a dip girl. I love like a red pepper dip.
Ooh,
they have one
at
Carrefour
really
that's like really good. Okay. I also have a feta dip, like an actually good feta dip. Okay. I mean, I probably wouldn't do a guacamole.
A guacamole?
Do you actually go wha? Is wha?
What?
You don't pronounce the G? Is it guacamole?
Well, it depends what language I'm speaking.
Fair. Okay.
Guacamole. Okay. Guacamole.
Guacamole.
Okay, Amelia Perez.
Yeah, so I'm really loving them. And so if you see sarrasin in Paris or you see a baguette that's sarrasin, that's definitely my
fave. I really want to try that.
It's really good. In terms of what I'm ranting about,
what are you
this
spiraling
is
about?
Yeah, oh yeah, spiraling about. This is really random, but I was thinking about it a lot recently. I really hate the word right. I hate that word in every context it's used in. And actually, I could probably just list a million here, but I'll start with two. The first one is I cannot stand when people, and this is usually men or it's corporate women, finish
corporate
every single.
Corporate women are really in our shit list.
Unreal. Yes, agreed. And they finish every sentence with right. So it'll be like, so you have this thing, right? And you have this, like, and it'll often be employed, and you'll hear it a lot on political podcasts. So pay attention if you listen to political or business podcasts.
Ah.
They employ it when they're talking about a subject that is contentious and that is not black and white, and that they're trying to basically explain their point of view. And to me,
like, give me an example.
Like, if they're explaining what Kamala did wrong in her campaign, they're like, you know, what she did right is she didn't distance herself enough from Biden. And I could even just see when I did that
so
to you.
So
there's no room for you to disagree.
Okay. Because like, they're saying right, period, not right, question mark.
Well, it's right, question mark, but they just treat it as if like you can't see me right now. But if someone does that to you, you start nodding even if you don't agree. It's psychologically manipulative, in my opinion.
So it's like, we're having a good time, right?
Yeah.
And you're
going
to be like,
yes,
no.
Right? And then you have a gun to my head.
So the right question mark is a gun to your head.
Yes.
You have to agree with me.
Yes. And also there's no room. There's no room like for you to be like wrong. Like no podcast host is going to be like disagree wrong. Like in that one moment, they just
oh my God, I've never thought about it.
I cannot stand it. But you'll now notice it's always white men who are mansplaining things.
Of course.
You. It's always. And then women will adapt it.
I'm going to start using that in like,
I want to start to do it in meetings. I've tried to do it on some new business
calls.
So this
is my fee, right?
Yeah.
Pay me all this money, right?
You like start to over abuse it. They're like, she has a verbal tic.
Oh my God. She's like, what is she? Does she speak English?
Yeah. So I hate that. I also hate when it's used. This one's weird, but I've been experiencing this a lot recently. People use it, no question mark, but just to respond to something like almost as if okay. Like if you're having a conversation with someone, it's always over text. And if you're having a conversation with someone, you say like, I don't know. I didn't love that she did that to me last week. And then they'll respond, right. Now, this has happened to me.
You send the first text and they respond with, right.
Yes, nothing else. So it's not
like,
follow-up.
It's not like, I agree or I disagree.
It's
like,
ambiguous.
Okay.
What does it mean? Could someone weigh in?
I guess.
I'm getting it a lot recently.
I hear you.
They're trying to say, I acknowledge that you have spoken.
Message read and received. And that's
I would rather nothing. Gonna be fully honest, I would rather no response.
Yeah, yeah. I could see how that could come off as like...
To me, it comes off... Like, how does that come off to you? Because to me, it comes off as like...
It's very...
Yeah,
like,
I disagree with you, but talking, I don't want to cause a fight. Oh.
I think it's just someone who doesn't have an opinion. And they're like, right, sure, that happened.
I hate it.
No, I don't think yeah, but it's but you're probably, I would get it. Like I see how that's negative.
Yeah.
Because if someone you'd say like, oh my god, this girl was so mean to me, I cried in the bathroom, and someone answers right, I would be like, what the fuck?
Okay, you get me now.
Or if someone says sure.
Someone did it to me the other day in like a really dramatic conversation, and I was like, I don't feel like that was an appropriate response.
Oh, you told them?
No, but oh, I mean, I just like
thought of it.
Thought like I just feel like it's not an appropriate response. No, it's so weird. So anyway,
I do think there's a lot of things that go like there's a lot of miscommunication that comes from texting.
Oh yeah, tell me about
like,
it.
Like I hate when people text me K or yeah. K period. That's like
who is texting K period?
A
out
lot
here?
Of people. I'm like, no, you hate me.
Yeah, but they probably do hate you. Or any modern
KK.
Person
even KK. I'm like,
I do KK.
I'm like, no. So really? I hate okay, K and KK. Like it's just not, it feels like occur? Integration. Occur is like fine.
What do you text back to like to say like okay exclamation point?
Yeah, or like an emoji or like sure. I don't know. Sounds yeah. good. Perfect.
Okay.
But KK or K, I'm like, why do you hate me? So what did I do to upset you?
I'm dying
you?
At K period.
But the right thing seems diabolical too.
Yeah,
I would say.
Diabolical. Yeah, that's a really good word for diabolical. It. Yeah,
it's so very like, let me tell you all my insecurities, and they're like, right,
right,
right. It feels like sure, you know.
For me, yeah. For me, it's like, yeah. What is the tone? For me, it's like, right, right.
It's like shut up now. Yeah.
Woof. Okay, glad I got that off my chest.
Yeah, so no one text Gabby right, please.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us. That is our fourth up.
Yeah,
that's pretty impressive.
That's a wrap on episode 4.
Yeah, we have a real podcast.
I know, that has episodes. So weird. We officially announced it on Instagram this week.
Yeah, you better have seen it. You better follow the Instagram account.
Yeah, honestly, it's been so nice to get all these messages and support from people because we know it's probably really. It's like when your friend's like, "Can you come to my improv show?" It's like, I mean, can you follow my podcast?
The same thing.
But no, it's been so nice to see everyone's messages and support. So thank you so much.
And you are allowed to mute us.
Yeah, you can definitely mute us. You can also respond to our stories. Right.
No, you actually. That's actually would cross that's your actually line. That would be in your words diabolical.
But yeah. Thank you for letting us rant. And if you made it to episode 4, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
This was Clashes,
a podcast brought to you by two idiots.
Clearly. I don't know if I can laugh on cue.